Make It Right, the manufacturing podcast.
This is the Make It Right podcast with Kevin Snook and Janet Eastman. Thanks for joining us. Kevin, every day you're on the front line of manufacturing. And I'm just wondering if you've seen anything interesting or curious over the last week or so on the manufacturing floor or even in the industry that you can share with us.
Oh, that's a good question to start with. Actually, just yesterday, I was talking to a chap in from the United States, from Connecticut, and he was talking about insurance. And this might not sound like it was particularly related to manufacturing, but he works with a lot of different companies, and some of them are manufacturing companies. And manufacturing companies spend a huge amount of money on insurance for people. People's health insurance and people's wellness insurance and making sure that there's no incidents and accidents at work or covering them if there are. And he got hold of me and said, how much does culture affect safety in the workplace? And that's a really good question because it's absolutely critical. You know, the leadership is the keystone for safety in a business. And we talked about this a little bit before as well. Anything that you're willing to walk past becomes your standard. And as a leader, if you're not setting that safety culture in the business, then you're going to have a lot more incidents and accidents. And Elon Musk has been talking about this recently with Tesla and some problems they've been having with safety on their production floor as well. And now the reason this was interesting is that this chap, he works with a particular type of insurance, which they call performance-based insurance, I believe, and or PBI. And with that, they give companies that have better safety records, better insurance claim, what do you call it? When they have to pay insurance, they pay less for their insurance if they've got a good safety record. And so working with a company and, you know, building the align process through a business doesn't only affect your production efficiency and your scrap and your quality, but it can have a massive impact on your safety results as well. And, you know, maybe that would even get you lower insurance claims.
So, you know, we do talk about this, you know, you're reducing scrap and whatnot because you want to save the company money. But I honestly, who would have thought that because your insurance rates are lower because of your safety record, that is saving you money as well? That's kind of amazing, right?
Yeah. And people think that doing things well costs more money. For example, I often hear that quality, you know, the cost of quality to produce a good quality product, you know, costs you more. And I found in the industry, it's completely the opposite for that. When you put in the work and the diligence to produce a really good quality product, your costs actually come down because everything else around that behavior of producing things well reduces costs and losses in every other part of the business. So it really does pay to do things right.
Do you see when you go into different factories, I remember my dad, he worked for an electrical company and they would have this thing on the wall where they flipped the day. Every day they were accident free. And it was like this great milestone when they got to 100 days, you know, 500 days, 1,000 days accident free. It was a really big deal. And an accident could be, you know, somebody just tripping over something and, you know, falling. That's considered an accident. So to be accident free for such an extended period of time was a huge feather in their cap. Are you seeing that in the manufacturing businesses that you go through?
I'm definitely seeing it in the best manufacturing businesses that I go to. There are people that do it for display and there are people that do it because they really mean it. And this is where it makes a huge difference. We talked about this with the certificates as well. You know, don't just go for the certificate to get the certificate. Go for the certificate for all the benefits that you really get as you're learning for something or as you're, you know, as you're getting your organization ready to pass the new ISO certification or something. Don't do it for the sake of the certificate. Do it for the sake of the benefits that you really get. And safety is absolutely one of those. It's one of those keystones. It must be a critical factor in your business. Safety and quality should be non-negotiable. And to be able to remind people and to use that, you know, turning of the calendar to show that there's another day that we've allowed everybody to go back from their business with all their fingers and pieces that they should have when they go back home to their families. I think that's a really good way to keep it in people's minds. But it needs to be live and it needs to be active. It needs to be real, not something you do for show.
Okay. Now I guess we should move into the actual episode and what we promised people for this particular podcast. We are actually taking questions from listeners, people who are in the manufacturing industry. This is episode 9, and we're venturing into that new territory because the last 8 shows, we broke down the Align process from your book, Kevin, Make It Right, 5 Steps to Align Your Manufacturing Business from the Front Line to the Bottom Line. So today we move into those questions from manufacturers, and we have a few here. And one of them is, and they're speaking directly to you, Kevin. They say, you seem to suggest throughout the book that people are the most important aspect of the business. But we're a manufacturing company with a huge investment in equipment. Isn't the equipment equally as important to the success of the company?
Well, that's a great question. Yes, the business results are directly related to the efficiency and effectiveness of the equipment. And certainly for a lot of industries where you have a very high capital investment in the equipment, it's critical that you keep that in that equipment in what I can call the ideal conditions. Ideal conditions mean that it's like it is on the day that it was brought into the factory. Equipment always works best when it's in those ideal conditions. It's clean, it's well aligned, it's well maintained. But the people that clean it, the people that align it, the people that maintain it are people. And that's why it's the people that are critical. It's the people's behaviors with that equipment that are the biggest impact. Most of the equipment we have in industry now is incredibly reliable. You know, the amount of engineering expertise that's gone into major manufacturers' equipment is you know, very high precision engineering. What we need is very high precision professional engineers and operators managing and running that equipment. And that's why I say that the people, you know, of course the equipment's important, but it's the people that maintain the condition of the equipment for it to perform at the optimum conditions.
And these are the people that are using it every day. They are the experts. So when they say, we really need to stop the line to fix this before it becomes a problem, that should be priority.
Yeah, and the skill of the leadership team is to develop that capability in the frontline employees. You know, not every frontline employee is going to walk into your business with an engineering degree. You know, most people need training. They need to be helped to develop that level of capability to do the right things on the production line. And that could be, you know, as small as knowing that when you replace a bolt, you put a washer in with it, or, you know, you use the right size spanner or wrench for each time that you're tightening up a bolt and you tighten it to the right torque. It's these little things that we need to be able to train people in so that they can take really good care of the equipment. You know, a big part, I often say that 80 to 90% of the problems with equipment come from cleaning and keeping that equipment well cleaned. And there are techniques that people have to follow to do the right cleaning at the right time and in the, you know, with the right method. And we need to be able to, as leaders, we need to have the systems in place that train people how to do that in the way that keeps the equipment at the ideal conditions.
And I guess in the very end, it's up to the leader to realize that when that person at the front line says, no, we really need to stop the machine and fix this, they need to accept that authority.
Yes. And so once the employees become more experienced, they do become the experts. They are the ones who are touching it, feeling it, listening to it every day. And they can tell those minute differences of what's happening. And then the leadership need to be open to listening. And you know, you can do that in many different ways. You can set up time-based maintenance, and then you can move through to condition-based maintenance so that the employees are actually watching the condition of the equipment, listening to the condition, or you have automatic devices helping to look at the condition of the equipment. And then when you get the signals that say, we need to take an intervention, we need to do something differently, then the leadership need to be willing to listen to that and put aside this constant drive for more volume, getting one more product out of the door, and do the right thing, which in the vast majority of cases is take care of the equipment to keep it at the best, the initial conditions, the best conditions, in order to ongoing produce good quality product.
I guess it basically comes down to respect the people and respect the equipment, and then you're going to be all good.
Yeah, I often see equipment, it's like it's your baby, right? Mm-hmm. And when the baby's normally playing and having fun, and then all of a sudden they get a wet diaper, or they're getting hungry and they start crying and they're making a noise and they need some attention. And equipment is exactly the same. When a bearing starts to fail, you hear it. When something goes over temperature, you get an alarm, or you can feel it. And we need to be really alert to those equipment conditions in order to be able to take care of the baby before it gets into a serious condition.
Here's a follow-on question from someone that kind of relates to that question, but it says, as people are the important an important component of the business, are you suggesting that we don't automate? And if we do automate, how do we deal with the potential reduction in the size of the workforce when you're supposed to respect these people and their jobs?
Yeah, another great question. I see this a lot, especially in developing markets, where they do have a high manual workforce and they're looking, do we automate or not? We're running businesses, and businesses are here for growth and profit. And so we have to understand that the best thing for every employee in the business is that the business grows and continues to make profit. That's how we protect, the vast majority of people that are taking their paycheck and going home looking after their families. And so we need the business to grow. We need the business to make profit. In order to do that, whenever we're looking at an option of bringing in automation, then we have to do a return on investment of that. And the return on investment basically says, will this pay back for the business over a period of time? And in most cases now, there are some good automation options to be able to reduce the number of staff that are doing manual type work. And so that should always be a consideration. Now, how do we deal with bringing in more automation? The number one goal is for the business to grow and for us to be able to move the people that are doing the more manual tasks onto doing more higher level work. So rather than just loading bottles onto a bottling line, is there some way that they could be looking at the new initiative that's coming and seeing how they could optimize the equipment to be able to easily run the new initiative? That moves people more from a manual point of view to more of a creative and project-based type work. Now, if we do need to reduce staffing and actually lay people off, then we do that with dignity. I've worked with some very good companies who, even if people needed to leave the company and go and find another role, the company would help them through that transition, even to the extent of, giving them interview training, giving them other skills that they needed to be able to get another very good job. And so I think this is all a matter of, we're living in the real world. Change is going to continue to happen. And we need to make sure that we're treating people with respect and we're helping them and their family with the continuity, even if they do need to move from our company to another company.
How do you think artificial intelligence is going to affect the people that work in manufacturing?
Hopefully it's going to be an incredible benefit to them. I like to think that in many cases, artificial intelligence is just going to be a tool for us, and we need to know how to use it in the most effective way. I think the good way to do that is to increase the human intelligence. So at the moment, a lot of companies that I see are using humans as tools to get a job done. And I don't think that's the way that humans should be used. I think humans are supercomputers, and they have the capability to really impact the world at a very high level. And artificial intelligence can help with that. And so if we use artificial intelligence as a tool, if we welcome it, if we learn a lot about it, if we help our employees to understand it and know how to get the most out of it, then our human intelligence can use artificial intelligence as the tool that it is designed to be.
Okay. Kevin, that's our time for this episode of the Make It Right podcast. But we are going to be taking more questions from manufacturers in the coming week. So thanks very much for listening to the Make It Right podcast. And if you enjoyed the show, we hope you'll share it with your friends and colleagues. And if you do, we thank you. As always, Kevin, it's good to speak with you. Always enlightening. I learned about insurance and the manufacturing industry today. So that was awesome.
Fantastic.
Have a great week, and thanks very much. And if anyone would like a copy of Kevin's book, it's available from Amazon.com or through the MakeItRightBook.com website. And until next time, thanks very much for listening.